male figure, and that person happened to be the king. The king has an awesome responsibility. Like you're going to see that we as well have an awesome responsibility. The king was to write out by hand his own copy of the law. In other words, he wrote out by hand his own Bible. I wonder this morning if the next Bible you and I ever received in our entire life was the one that we wrote out personally by hand, would we ever have the Word of God again? Something to think about, isn't it? Now, I know a pastor, several actually, but one in particular, I know this pastor down in Texas. Him and I became great friends, and he's in heaven today. But he took that responsibility or that charge and decided to write out his own Bible, just as it laid out before him. Every word, every jot, every tittle. And he found out as when he went down through his notebook and as he wrote, he made a mistake. He didn't take his pencil and erase it and correct it. No, he tore the page out of the book and started writing at the top of his notebook again and wrote it out perfectly as it was in his Bible. Now that's quite a challenge. What's that going to do for us if we were to do that and help us to know what's in the Word of God? We're to find what we're looking for in the Word of God. The cults wouldn't be able to come through and sweep you off your feet for us erring, not knowing the Scriptures. We have a book, and we need to know what's in this book. There's a group out in upstate New York, and they're known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. They have a huge printing operation up there. In one of their buildings, they have 11 roll web presses lined up in a row. And every day those presses run, they print, if you stack them one on top of the other like that, higher than the Empire State Building, in 127 different languages every day. They act upon what they believe. We need to act on what we believe. And if we believe that knocking doors and visiting and getting the gospel out there is the right thing to do, we as Christians need to act upon it. Maybe you can't walk the streets and knock on somebody's door, but we sure have a lot of telephones, don't we? Telephones can communicate the message. We need to do that. So the king was to write out by hand his own copy of the law. The king was to take it with him everywhere he went. Do you take the Word of God everywhere you go? I do. I have a truck full at all times. But I have my own personal Bible with me every day. The king was to read it all the days of his life. Do we read the Word of God every day of our life? If not, we should. Amen? Amen. The king was to learn to fear the Lord. You know, there's not much fear of the Lord these days, even in fundamental Baptist churches, plus all these other churches out here. No fear of God. You know, I just absolutely hate that when I'm driving down the highway and a pickup truck passes me by and on his back window it says, no fear. You ever seen that? Sure. One day, every tongue is going to confess and every knee is going to bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. The king was to keep all the words of the law and statutes. You know, I think if we as Christians could only learn to live by some of the commands that's written down in the New Testament, we would probably be much better Christians. The king was not to have his heart lifted up above his brethren. It's very easy these days to get prideful in a thing that we might be doing, even for the Lord. You know, this Bible thing, this is only the Lord that did this. I didn't know how to make a Bible in my entire life. I just thought you went to the bookstore and bought them. And that's what we're trained to do. But I used to say the day is coming when you won't be able to go to the bookstore and buy your Bible. That day is here. Trust me. I've been in some major cities and major bookstores, and you cannot buy a King James Bible. And you know, strange that that's the only Bible out there that doesn't have a copyright. Everything else is copyrighted. Why do you copyright something? God didn't copyright His Word. Why should we? Well, a couple of reasons, I suppose. They copyright a Bible so that nobody can change it. Or it's copyrighted so they're the only ones that can make money on it. We don't make money on those books back there. Those Bibles are at the cost of production. I've got a Bible on that table. I was sharing with Brother Jim this morning. That cost some preachers between $800 and $1,000 a copy just to get it. That's an exorbitant price, isn't it? But there's a Bible on that table that's called the Cambridge Turquoise Edition. And that's the only Bible these preachers will use in East Tennessee and West Virginia. And they would go on the internet years back and look for them because they'd been out of print. And when they found one, they literally paid $800 to $1,000 to get it. And then one of those pastors called me one day and said, "We heard about you." I said, "Was it good or bad?" And they said, "No, it's all good, and we just have a question. Could you reprint a Bible if we supplied you with one?" And I said, "Well, you realize we can't add to it and we can't take from it. But if you'll provide one, we can rightly divide it and multiply it." And so they did, and we did. Took it apart, page by page, scanned it into the computer, and now they get the Bible for $75 all day long. Top quality, real leather, made in America by my children and grandchildren. That's something to be shouting about. See, we've been caught up in the system for many, many years. And at one point in time, God's people used to be in charge. The Holy Writ was entrusted to the local church years gone by. But at some point in time, someone said, "I quit. We don't want that responsibility." And the world moved into the picture like you and I know it and said, "Okay, Christians, if you don't want to take care of what rightfully belongs to you, we will take care of it for you. And we will do the printing. We'll put gold and silver on the edges. We'll put red letter in them." Some of my Bibles aren't even red letter. When the King James Bible was first printed by command from the king, he said black ink only. This red letter stuff didn't happen long till the late 1800s, which is fine as long as the verse is in the book. I didn't take it out. Anyway, they said, "We'll take care of it for you," and they've been doing that ever since. And they said, "Since we're doing this, taking care of your responsibility, we'll now dictate to you what you're going to pay for it," and you will. "And you'll have to go to the bookstore and get it," and we do. Not me, but I'm saying, you know, there's another source now. Anything we have on that table back there can be ordered off of our website or can be gotten when we go around to churches. We don't sell them to bookstores because we know that those Bibles would be marked up 3 times the price if we let them go into a bookstore. And they know that. And so we don't sell them to bookstores unless the bookstore is in the local church, under the control of the pastor of the church and whoever he designates below him to take care of it. That's good. See, that way we're not making merchandise of the Word of God like the world has done. There was a couple things else I wanted to say here. The king was not to turn aside from God's commandment. This is God's commandment from Genesis to Revelation. And we ought not turn from it. And the king's life and his children's lives would be prolonged by keeping God's commands. I know some dear senior saint ladies in churches across this country, one in particular that I'm thinking of. Well, a few of them, but we used to be in the church in Park Rapids, Minnesota. And you all know where that's at, not very far from here. And we had a lady in the scripture ministry there that collated and assembled all these John and Roman booklets and stapled them and trimmed them. And at 79 years old, she had never flown in an airplane in her life. We had a man in the church over there, his name was Captain Bob Warner. He had a single engine aircraft that he would fly from Park Rapids to Fargo, get on a big jet and fly around all over for a week, come home on Friday night and fly his little plane back to Park Rapids. Then one day he had this brainstorm. Sister Ethel, her name was Ethel Tillotson. She'd gone to glory now. But at 79 years old, he said, how would you like to fly to El Paso, Texas with me? So he took her and a couple others, and they flew to El Paso, to another ministry there, boarded a bus, went into Old Mexico, passing out the scriptures that she collated and assembled and put together. And when she was walking these dirty streets of Mexico and these ranches and villages, she saw other folks out there way ahead of her passing out their literature too. And she thought they were part of her group. But she finally caught up with them. And lo and behold, they were the Jehovah's Witnesses passing out their materials before she got there. See what I'm saying, folks? They act upon what they believe. We need to act upon what we believe. Amen. See, I served the devil for 30 years. I didn't get saved till the age of 30. That was back in 1978. My wife says, well, you just had your 40th birthday here the other day. This is wonderful. Take me out for lunch. Four things and I'm done. Four things about seed. Luke 8:11 says the seed is the word of God. Mark 4:14 says that the sower soweth the word. And I'm looking at sowers this morning that ought to be sowing the seed of the word of God. God says if we'll sow the seed, if we'll plant the seed, somebody else is going to come along and water that seed. But God said he will give the increase. But we need to do our part. So seed has life in it. If you took a kernel of corn and put it in your hand, it looks rather dead, but there's life in that seed. Seed is powerful. The word of God is powerful. Amen. Seed has great potential. But that seed has to be planted in order for it to do any good. Would you agree? So we must be about the Father's business and plant the seed in Moorhead and Fargo and everywhere we go. Pastor, thank you.